Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't Good morning, Ascend Church. We welcome you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We welcome you to stand with us as we get ready to give God praise this morning. Those watching online, you are more than welcome. We encourage you to join with us as we shout out our praises and sing unto God this morning. Come on, church. I want you to put your hands together this morning.
Of God. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me in all my days. I've been held in your hand from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Come on, sing it with me.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. Darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Yeah, all my life you have been faithful.
Everybody, it's good to see you. How many of you know that the Lord is good? The Bible says that His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. The Bible says, even when we are faithless, He remains faithful. Even when we're faithless, He is faithful. There's so many times that the Lord has protected you and you never realized it. There's so many times the Lord has guided you and you never realized it. Amen. And I'm just so thankful for God's goodness. And we want to pray right now for anyone who needs prayer. You know, we just went on a cruise for our 39th wedding anniversary. It was really a dream come true because we'd wanted to do the Mediterranean for I don't know, on our 30th we wanted to do it. And so we were able to do that. And we went with some friends of ours, Matt and Tamara. And so as we were kind of getting ready to come back, and Tamara said, please will you pray for Matt because he's had such pain in his back. He had surgery. He had part of a disc removed in his back. And they had said he's going to need more surgery and he's really in a lot of pain because we did quite a lot of walking around. And so I don't know why. We just were busy. And, you know, it's amazing how you get so busy to pray and ask God to do things and you walk around with this pain and you don't have to. And so we flew all the way back from Athens to Miami. It's a 12 and a half hour flight. And so as we got off the plane and landed in Miami, I said, Matt, let me pray for you. Now, I was tired. 12 and a half hours in coach ain't no fun. And you know what you like. You get off, you're tired. But I said, let's pray. Right in the airport at baggage claim, laid my hands on Matt, and I felt the anointing of God go into him. I was kind of surprised because I thought, I haven't been in prayer. I'm tired. I'm worn out. And I felt this anointing go into him, man. And so then they texted me the next day and they said, Matt hasn't had any pain, which is really quite amazing when you think about. So I just want you to know that the Lord is a healer. Jesus is still the healer. And I want to pray for people today that need healing in their body. And I want to especially pray for Edward. And I'm going to ask if someone can help, if the ushers can help Edward. I want to have Edward come up here at the front today. If you can help him, ushers, get to the front because I want to pray for him because he just got out of hospital. And anyone who needs healing, let me tell you, often when people would come to Jesus, they would cry out, have mercy on us. When they needed a miracle, they needed healing, Lord, have mercy on us. And Jesus would say, what do you want? That's how I want to see. And he'd say, according to your faith, be it unto you. And they'd be healed. I want you to know that God is still a merciful God. And that healing is a demonstration of God's mercy. It's not because you deserve it. Mercy is not anything you deserve. Because if you deserve it, it's not mercy anymore. Mercy is the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. And so if you need prayer, if you need healing, I want to encourage you to come out right now. Come and stand here at the front. We have our prayer team. We're going to pray over you. We've seen the Lord do miracle after miracle after miracle. He is a miracle working God. Amen. If you need healing in your body, I want you to come right now. And I want to pray. I want us to pray for Edward. I want to pray for anyone who's watching this, wherever you may be. Wherever you are in the world, I want you to know that there is no distance in prayer and that Jesus, the healer, is with you right now. And I'm going to pray if you need healing in your body and you're watching this, I want you to lay your hand on yourself. And I'm going to pray right now, Father, let your healing power, let your healing anointing flow through every person who's watching, every person who needs healing. I command sickness to go. I command disease to go. I command pain to go. In the name of Jesus, I speak health and healing. I command you to be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give you all of the praise and we give you all of the honor and we give you all of the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Won't you, church, won't you stretch your hand with us and join with us in prayer as we pray for Edward right now. Father, we thank you for Edward. I thank you that you are his healer. I thank you, Jesus, you took our sickness. You bore our disease. And by your stripes, we have been healed. You said the believer will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You said, is any sick among you? Call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. We lay hands upon Edward. Lord, we release your healing anointing. We command sickness and disease go in Jesus' name. We command you to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you and we praise you. We agree together. Say, I agree right now that Edward is healed in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord, for long life. We thank you for restoring his health in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come on, we're going to worship the Lord with, we have one last song that we're going to sing, and it's called Be Enthroned. And the Bible says that God is enthroned on the praises of his people. And what that means is when you begin to worship and praise God, it enthrones God in your life. It puts God on the throne in your life. It causes you to come into his presence. And amazing things happen when God is enthroned. So let's sing it together now. Lift your voices and lift your hands up to heaven. And let's worship the Lord as we enthrone him with our worship. Can you say amen?
Speak, Lord. upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy,
Lord of all.
Oh, unto you,
unto you, the slain and risen King,
we lift our voice with heaven singing, worthy,
Lord.
Room there. church and give them a shout of praise in this place. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, some of you, you just stepped up into another realm that took you right out of the circumstance that you find yourself in. That's how you do it, is by worshiping your way into God's presence. You take those high, they used to come before the Lord, and they had the songs of ascent, where they would begin to sing as they went up to the temple, as they went up to the house of God. They would begin to sing their worship until they entered in there. And something happened in this place today. As we began to worship God, as we began to lift our thoughts above our circumstances, we began to stop thinking about what's not happening and how is God going to do this and how is he going to do that, and just fix our eyes upon him in worship. Doesn't it do something to your heart? It just does something to your heart, right? Praise God. How good it is to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them, I'm glad to see you. You may be seated. Well, how good to see you this morning. I tell you what, we've been away 2 Sundays and it feels like a long time. But we're glad to be in church with you this morning. I want to welcome everyone that's watching, our viewers that are watching online. Welcome to our service. Make yourself comfortable. Grab your Bible, grab a notepad, and you can receive just what you need right where you're sitting. Just to any of our Send Church members, if you're at home and you can get here, come to church. It's a whole lot better than sitting at home and watching online. I tell you what, I'd choose being in church over watching online any day. The last 2 Sundays, when you go to Europe, Wi-Fi is not as good as being in the U.S., not everywhere. And I had my phone and I was trying to live stream the service, watching the service, walking down these streets. But thank God for technology. So we're glad we're able to do that. But if you are watching on Facebook, just go and check in. Let us know where you're watching from. Share the live stream. The whole purpose of it is to reach out and reach people. You know, sometimes you can reach people with social media that you can't actually get into a building that easily, right? So go ahead and share that. And because you know, you have a whole, I found in my family, in my circle, people that I tried for years to get to come to church or to try and witness to that seemed closed, just later on they started to open up slightly, and maybe they just watch a service, watch half a service, and gives God a chance to work in their life. So that's what we're talking about here. Go ahead and share that. There's different ways you can watch Ascend Church, on our website, which is ascendchurch.us, and then on our app, on YouTube, on Facebook. There's various ways that you can watch. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. We met a couple of first-time visitors, and if you are here for the first time today, we'd just like to welcome you. What we'll do, our ushers will hand you a visitor pack where you're sitting. Don't want to embarrass you, just want to recognize you. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? Come on, family. Let's act like we know. Let them know we're glad that they're here. It's awesome. Sometimes people are a little shy to raise their hand, but if you want to grab one of those from our ushers, in there you'll find a couple of things, just a welcome. There is a card that we ask you, just fill it out, and at the end of the service we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop that card in. Pastor Steve loves to get in touch and just reach out and send you a text message or give you a call. So thank you for filling out your details. We appreciate that. And for our church members, you know, we pass a clipboard by. And we ask you, just if you've got any details to update, just update them. Otherwise, just check it. Let us know you're here. It's a part of pastoring that really helps us, just to know who was here. And, you know, just like Edward said, he was in hospital for a week. You know, if you don't always know what people are going through, but if you know they're not in church and you give them a call and you find out where people need help. So thank you for doing that. And if you don't get our text messages, just text the word ASCEND to 313131, and you'll get that weekly text message come through, or any important information that we need to give you. I always like to just, before we go into the message, in this card, we give the four main purposes of our church. And so the first one is that what we want and our purpose is that you would know God. You say, I do know God. I've gotten saved. No, we're getting to know Him better all the time. Today, when you hear the word and you're in His presence, you get to know Him even deeper. So we want you to know God. Second of all, we want you to find freedom in every area of your life. Thirdly, discover your purpose. And lastly, make a difference with your life. So that's our four main purposes. And I know Pastor Steve's got a good message for you today. I just want to say this while he's coming up. One of the highlights of our trip, we went around the Mediterranean, and so we stopped in a few different countries. We ended up in Athens, which that was the last stop of the cruise, so we stayed a couple of days. And we stayed, our friends had rented this Airbnb, and it overlooked the Parthenon. So I don't know, anybody been to Greece? Anybody been to Greece, right? So you got the Acropolis, then on top of it you've got the Parthenon, and you've got the temple to Athena, and you had all kinds of things, and incredibly built like in 460 BC and still standing. You know, obviously it's ruins, but amazingly standing there. So one of the highlights, as you come up here, because I'm ready for you. I'll keep talking, you know I will, right? Anyway, let me just make it short. We went, one of the last days we were there, we went up to, you know, when you read in the book of Acts chapter 17, and it talks about where Paul, the Apostle Paul, landed up in Greece. And Greece was a place of, you know, it was the start of Western civilization, and it was the philosophers and all these people, and they had statues and goddess statues to all different gods and what have you. And Paul didn't have to preach, but somebody said to him, we want to hear what you have to say. And so he went out onto what they call Mars Hill, which is right at the on the Acropolis, the bottom there, overlooking, I mean, they're looking up at all these statues and all this grandeur of what man can do. And he said, let me tell you about the God, the unknown God. They had a statue to the unknown God. And he said, let me tell you about the unknown God. He's the one who created everything. And he begins to tell them, preach the gospel to them. And so we stood on Mars Hill and we read that those verses out of chapter 17. And it was very moving. Right?
Right. It was. It was.
It really was.
Well, praise God. We are so glad to be back, though, aren't we?
Yeah.
We, as my wife said, we I still feel like I'm on the boat. She doesn't feel it, but it's 7 days later, and I'm still doing this. The floor is doing this. I guess I know what it feels like to be an alcoholic and wake up in the morning, because it's weird. But anyway, hopefully that'll go away sometime. But we sailed out of Rome. We did a 10-day cruise. We went out of Rome, and then we went to Cannes in France. Do you say Cannes? Can. I always say the wrong way. Can. And then we went down to Tuscany. We went to Andre Brucelli's vineyard, and we had lunch, and then they had a concert for us. Unfortunately, it wasn't Andre Brucelli, but it was one of his students. And then we went to Naples, had some folded pizza. and went to Sicily, did the Godfather tour where they filmed the Godfather. It was so funny. I just laughed because you have to go up the mountain. So the coach that we were on go round and round and round, and you see this mountain like you're going to go off the cliff. You get to the top where they filmed Godfather. And so I found this little pizza place, and I'm having coffee, and then I realize this is where they filmed one of the scenes, and they've got a picture of Al Pacino outside the restaurant. It's like a famous picture. So I said, take my picture. I want to get my picture outside the restaurant. I'm sitting at the little table with my espresso macchiato. And so these two women come over and say, can we take our picture with you? Can we take a picture with you? So, okay, so Matt's with me, and I don't know why they want to take the picture with me. So then we go to, from there, we go to Croatia, Dubrovnik, Croatia. And we're sitting and having something to eat with Jill and Tamara. And then we finished, and they said, we want to go have some dessert at the restaurant next door. So I said, okay, go get us a table. And Matt's laughing, and I didn't realize the same two girls are standing staring at us. They're standing staring at us, and he said, I thought you saw them and you were sending the girls away. I didn't see them, and they're staring, these like stalkers staring at us. If they're here today, I'm so then we went to the Greek islands, to four different islands in Greece, and we just had a wonderful time and a wonderful rest. We want to thank everybody who gave toward Pastor's Appreciation, because you pretty much almost covered the cost of our cruise, and really it's something that we've wanted to do for so many years. So thank you to everyone who gave and blessed us that we could go and have that wonderful time. But I must tell you that we couldn't wait to get back. So Matt and Tamara, we stayed 4 days in Athens because we wanted to see Athens, and they had scheduled a week, so they changed their tickets, cost them a lot of money to come back with us. We couldn't wait to get back. I want to tell you something right now. We are blessed to live where we live. Sometimes it's good to travel. I like to see new places. But let me tell you right now, when you travel to other countries, I think you appreciate how blessed we are to live right here in Jupiter. It's one of the most beautiful places in all the world. And so, amen. Are you ready for God's word today? I heard that our daughter Robin did a wonderful job speaking 2 weeks ago. And then last Sunday, you had Prophet Ed Trout was here. And Wi-Fi was a little bit of a problem sometimes. So we watched as much as we could. We saw some prophecies. Prophet over Muffin Sam. He always prophesies over Muffin Sam when he comes. But a few other people, Joseph and Monique, and so praise God. We're glad to be back. This week is Thanksgiving, and I'm thankful. How about you? That's what I want to speak to you about today. So let's pray as we get into God's Word. Father, we thank you that you are good, Lord. We thank you that you are faithful. We are so thankful for every blessing in our life. We know that every good gift comes from you. And we just give you praise. Thank you, Lord, today that your word will go forth and it'll transform us. It'll change our thinking. It'll make us a little bit more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, something I want to share with you before I get into my sermon today, and that is that, remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? Remember Lazarus died and he was dead for 4 days. And they called Jesus, and he got there, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Do you remember that? And Lazarus came, I think it's in John chapter 11. Lazarus came bouncing out of the tomb because he was wrapped in grave clothes. That's what they did in the days. They embalmed them, and they wrapped them in grave clothes. And he was wrapped like a mummy. And Jesus said to the people, loose him, take off those grave clothes, and let him go. Do you remember that story? Do you know that even though Jesus is the one who gives you new life, because he gave new life to Lazarus, Jesus gave us new life. The Bible says we were dead in our sin. We were separate from God. But Jesus came and he gave us his life so that we could have new life. However, do you know, even though God is the one, Jesus is the one who gives you new life, do you know that God uses people to take off the grave clothes, to unwrap you and set you free? And I want to tell you, part of my mission, the reason you're here today, part of what God has anointed me to do is to take off those grave clothes, to remove the old ways of thinking, to remove the old ways of living, so that you can become everything that God destined you to be. And let me tell you, if you'll be here every Sunday, you'll just keep on unwrapping the old life and step in to the new life. Amen? So I want to speak about always be thankful, because this is Thanksgiving this Thursday in America, and I just felt the Lord wanted me to speak about being thankful. This is a national holiday in the United States that is set apart for giving thanks to God. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. You might have thought Thanksgiving was about turkey and about family, and those things are all good, but that is not what Thanksgiving is about. And if you focus on that, you'll miss what Thanksgiving really is. Thanksgiving is about giving thanks to God for his blessings in our life, for all the blessings he's given us. We ask God to continue to guide us, bless us, watch over the United States of America. The founding fathers of America, they thanked Almighty God. They sought his blessing and his wisdom. And may we always have that same trust. May God continue to bless and watch over America. The first Thanksgiving in America took place in 1621 when the Pilgrims and the Native Americans held a three-day celebration to thank God for their survival and thank God for the harvest that he had given them. And George Washington, the first President of the United States, he proclaimed the first National Day of Thanksgiving, and he said this. He said, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore his protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer." What is Thanksgiving? It's a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God. And George Washington said that on October 3rd in 1789. Then in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln, he appointed a national day of thanksgiving. He declared it a federal holiday, and he made the following proclamation. Abraham Lincoln said, "The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensitive to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. It seemed to me fit and proper that they should solemnly, reverently, and gratefully be acknowledged as one with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." Thanksgiving holiday is about offering thanks to God for his blessings and his goodness in our life. And the scripture says that one of the signs of the last days is that people will become unthankful. It says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." How many of you think we're in the last days yet? If you don't think we're in the last days, you're not paying attention. For men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. One of the signs of the last days is people will be unthankful. And the Passion Bible says you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will become extremely fierce and difficult for the people of God. It says people will be self-centered, lovers of themselves, and obsessed with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. Do you know we live in a world today where what is wrong is considered right, and what is right is considered wrong? They will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. Now listen, let that not be us. Romans 1:21 says, throughout human history, the fingerprints of God were upon them, yet they refused to honor him as God or even be thankful for his kindness. Instead, they entertained corrupt and foolish thoughts about what God was like. This left them with nothing but misguided hearts steeped in moral darkness. One of the signs of the last days is unthankfulness or ungratefulness. But the Word of God says in Colossians chapter 3:15, always be thankful. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. That's what we did this morning. We sang to the Lord with thankful hearts. The Message translation says, cultivate thankfulness. So in other words, this is something that you've got to cultivate in your life, of choosing to be thankful and grateful. Colossians 2 verse 7 says, let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all that he has done. We should overflow with thanksgiving for all that he has done. Hebrews 12:28 says, since we have a kingdom that nothing can destroy, let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts and with holy fear and awe. Now, in the Old Testament, we see God instructed his people to come into his presence. When they came into the temple, they were to come with thanksgiving. That was the way to enter into the temple. The presence of God was with thanksgiving. Psalm 100 verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Be thankful to him and bless his name. The Passion Bible says it like this, you can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offering to him and affectionately bless his beautiful name. Amen. The Message Bible says, enter with the password, thank you. You know, it is amazing what happens when you begin to give thanks unto God, how God responds. Thanksgiving is the password that gives you access into the presence of God. Amen. The word thankful means to be obliged or to be grateful, to be appreciative, to be conscious of benefit received. And some synonyms, some words that mean the same thing as thankful is the word glad, happy, satisfied, pleased, blissful. Some antonyms, that means opposite of thankful, is to be displeased, dissatisfied, joyless, sad, and unhappy. In other words, if we're thankful, we can't go around with a long face, always focus on what we don't have and what's going wrong. No, we will have joy and we will be happy and we won't be dissatisfied. We'll be content. We'll trust in the Lord. Amen. Psalm 95:2 says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 50:14, offer to God thanksgiving. Psalm 68:69-30, I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Hebrews 13:15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. I mean, throughout the Scriptures, you're going to see this over and over and over and over, that God is pleased when we have a thankful attitude and when we express our thanksgiving to God. Let me tell you, that pleases the Lord. The book of Acts says about the early church, even though they had endured great persecution, it says in Acts 2:46, they worshiped together regularly at the temple. Each day they met in small groups in homes for communion, and they shared their meals with great joy and thankfulness. Can you imagine? You got a chance of being arrested if you go to church. You could be thrown into jail, but they are meeting and they are joyful and they are so thankful to be able to be at church. They're so thankful for God's goodness and blessing in their life. Let me tell you one main key that I've discovered to living happy and enjoying your life is you have to learn how to stay grateful. You have to learn how to choose to be thankful. You have to learn how to focus on what's right rather than focusing on what's wrong. Focusing and be thankful for what you do have instead of always thinking about what you don't have. Because let me tell you, the seeds of discouragement cannot take root in a thankful and a grateful heart. You cannot be discouraged when you have a thankful and a grateful heart. There's power in thanksgiving. If you're not happy today, if you feel a bit discouraged today, or maybe when you're tempted to get discouraged, let me tell you, the quickest way to get out of that is stop focusing on what you don't have and start thanking God for what you do have. It's a major key. Find a reason to be grateful, because being grateful will lift you out of depression. It'll lift you out of discouragement. Being grateful can turn a relationship around. It can save a marriage. It's amazing what happens when we stop focusing on someone's faults and we stop complaining about what they're doing wrong, and instead we start seeing the good. Let me tell you, when you're thankful at the office where you work, when you express gratitude to your employer, that can save your job. I mean, during a time of layoff, that can help you get a promotion at work. Because people like to be around grateful people. They're drawn to people who are appreciative, people who are thankful. And so is God. Let me tell you, when you get up in the morning, before you turn on the TV or read the newspaper or think about the problems that you have to deal with, the first thing you should do when you get up is thank God that you're alive. Thank God that you're healthy. Thank God that you have a job. Well, I'm going to go to work. No, I get to go to work. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your friends. Thank God for Jesus. If you got Jesus, let me tell you, you got a lot of reasons to be thankful. We need to start off our day with a grateful attitude. You can't go through the day negative and depressed as long as you have the spirit of thanksgiving. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, I would do that, but I've got this old car. It's got no AC. It's hot outside, man. No, be grateful for what you do have. There's a lot of people who would love to have your car. Well, if I had more money, I'd be happy. You've got to change your perspective, because you may not have all the money that you'd like, but if you have your health, that's worth what money cannot buy. I heard about one man who is one of the wealthiest men in America, worth over $1 billion, but he didn't have his health. He spent years going to hospitals, trying all these different treatments. Do you know how much that man would have given just to be healthy? I tell you right now, he'd give all of it. You may not have everything that you would like, but you've got to have the right perspective. If you have your health, you're extremely healthy. You have something that $1 billion cannot buy. Don't take for granted you were able to get out of bed this morning without someone helping you. When you opened your eyes, you were able to see. When you told your legs to walk, they obeyed you. When you went to the kitchen, you had food to eat. Be thankful that you can breathe without any problems, that you are able to breathe. If you see a homeless person, pray for them and thank God that you have a home. You see someone in a wheelchair, bless them and thank God that you're able to walk. If you're in a wheelchair and you can't walk, thank God that you can see. You may not have legs, but thank God you have arms. Find a reason to be grateful and to be thankful. If you have a hard time sleeping tonight, instead of lying there frustrated in your bed thinking about, you know, what you don't have, think about people that don't have a bed. If you get stuck in traffic tomorrow, instead of getting upset, be thankful that you have a car. I mean, we live today with so many modern conveniences. Can you imagine living 100, 200 years ago? We were talking about it one time. Tom was complaining. Tom and Anna, they drive down from Sewell's Point, and it's about a 40-minute drive to come to church. And they drive down to church. They've been doing it for years and years and years. And one day, in the early days, I think it was the first year you started coming to church, and he was complaining, man, there's a long way to drive. 45 minutes, that's a long drive. 45 minutes back. And the Lord spoke to him and reminded him. Said, remember Anna's grandparents used to ride in Kentucky to church on a wagon, and it would take them how long? 3 hours one way in the wagon to church. Then they'd stay all day, no air conditioning. Then they'd ride in the wagon all the way back home. He stopped complaining about the 45-minute drive in his air-conditioned car down to church. Maybe you had a tough day at the office. You know, instead of letting it ruin your week, be thankful that you have a job. If someone's mean, spiteful to you, they're jealous, angry, it could be worse. You could be them. Be thankful that you're not like them. We can all find a reason to give thanks. Being grateful is the key to living a happy life. Being thankful, being grateful. Because let me tell you, our circumstances go up and down. People don't always do what's right. Disappointments come to everybody. It's just a part of life. But if you can train yourself to always see the good and always find some reason to be thankful, then you are going to live your life happy and joyful. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says, be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Say, I will be thankful in all circumstances. Now notice, it doesn't say thank God, give thanks for everything. It says thank God, be thankful in everything. So I'm not thanking God, you know, that I had a, thank you, Lord, that I had a car accident, my car got rode off. No, I'm thanking God, Lord, thank you that even though I had an accident, that you protected me. Are you with me? The Living Bible says, no matter what happens, always be thankful. In other words, Lord, in spite of what happened, I'm still going to be thankful. I'm not going to focus on what's wrong. I'm going to find something positive in my life, and I'm going to be thankful. I may be sick, but I want to thank you for my family. I may be struggling at my job, but I want to thank you, Lord, that I have a job. Let me tell you, God loves that kind of attitude. We all have difficult situations, but we have to discipline ourselves to not stay focused on the negative side, because that's where your mind naturally wants to go. And the fact is, there are some things in life that we cannot change. We can't change people. I figured that out a long time ago. I can't change people. I can't make you come to church. I never brought you to church. And I can't make you come, and I can't make you stay. I can't change people. I can't make people do what's right. And if you're constantly trying to do that, it's just going to lead to frustration. It's just going to frustrate you. You've got to turn that situation over to God. You've got to do your part and then trust God to do His part. But don't let it keep stealing your joy. When I'm tempted to get down and discouraged, and I get tempted to get down and discouraged just like you do, but you know what? I do two things. Number one, I know I've got to get my mind off my problems. I've got to quit focusing on what's wrong in my life and what I don't have. And number two, I've got to find a reason to be thankful. I've got to look at what's right and not at what's wrong. And we do this all the time. We realize that every day is a gift from God. And once it's gone, you cannot get it back. How are you going to choose to live that day? Happy, thankful, enthusiastic or negative, discouraged, focused on your problems, what you don't have, who hurt you, who let you down. Listen, get away from that junk and find a reason to be thankful, because too often we're not grateful for something until it's almost taken away. Then when we get it back, we've got a new appreciation. It changes our whole perspective. Are you with me? Don't take your health for granted. Don't take your job for granted. Don't take the people in your life for granted. Husbands, don't take your wife for granted. The wives are supposed to say amen if you're not too afraid to. Recognize, husbands, that woman is a gift that God has given you. So stop being critical and finding fault and complaining about what she's doing wrong, and start being thankful that you have someone to love. Focus on what she's doing right. This is good preaching, Anna. I'm preaching better than they are amening today. Let me tell you, you got to learn to overlook some things. You got to realize that everybody has weaknesses. Everybody has flaws. When you're tempted to be critical of your wife's faults, you got to remember it was those faults that kept her from getting a better husband. We all have room to improve, don't we? Let's focus on the good. There's too many people that are just kind of enduring their marriage because they let these little things build up, and then they get resentful, and before long, they're hard to get along with. They're at odds. They're arguing. Jill and I, we've been married 39 years, and let me tell you a key. You've got to let some things go. You can't respond to and say everything you feel like, because if you do, you're going to be, you got to just, sometimes we just let things go and we just stop talking and we just kind of take a break. Oh my goodness, we're in Rome. We're in Rome and we hired these little scooters. You know, a little electric scooter. Lordy, lordy. It started raining and the traffic in, you know, what it's like over there, cobblestone streets. And so she's freaking out. She's freaking out on the little scooter. I mean, she's going, she doesn't like, she keeps stopping. I'm like, come on, come on, come on. We got to get there. We got to get there. And so we had a little bit of a tiff, I must tell you. I'm like, well, I'm going. I'll see you later. I took off. But I kept checking on her. I kept checking on her. She was terrified. And then I felt bad. And I was like, I shouldn't have done that. Because, you know, for me, I'm having a great time. For her, it's like torture. And so I went back and I got her, and we just didn't talk about it. We just had lunch and we just didn't talk about it. Because if we did, we would have had an argument about it. So we just let it go. Just let it go. No more scooters. Huh? We looked at the Colosseum and ate some lasagna. That's what we did, yeah. Change your perspective. I challenge you to find something good. One great quality about your spouse, and magnify it. Your husband may not be the most romantic man in the world. He may not be the best communicator in the world. But maybe he's a hard worker. And he's a good provider. And you never have to worry about your bills. Start telling him, honey, I really appreciate that you're such a good provider. If you'll magnify the good, not only will you be happier in your life, but you'll see him begin to rise up higher in other areas of his life. Maybe your husband doesn't come to church with you. You've tried and you've tried, but he's just not interested. Listen, don't nag him. Just love him. Too many ladies, that they try and shove scriptures down their husband's throat. They're always preaching to him, telling him what he's doing wrong. A better approach is to be his best friend. Just be fun to be around. That'll draw him in a lot quicker than any of that other stuff. Because you can't change your husband. You can just pray for him, love him, be a good example, and let God do the rest. Amen. That's what it says in the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, let me speak to the wives. Be devoted to your own husband, so that even if some of them do not obey the word of God, your kind conduct may win them over without you saying a thing. You want to know how to win your husband? Go to Victoria's Secret and buy something, and that night, that's how you win your husband over. And all the husbands, if you're not too afraid. The Living Bible says, wives, fit in with your husband's plans. For then if they refuse to listen when you talk to him about the Lord, they will be won over by your respectful, pure behavior. Your godly lives will speak to them better than any words. The Message Bible says, be good wives to your husbands, responsive to their needs. Don't use the excuse, well, Pastor Steve, I don't have to treat my husband good. He doesn't come to church. He's not as spiritual as me. He's not obeying the word of God. We all have a responsibility to treat our spouse with respect and with honor, not to take them for granted. Life is so short. Let me tell you, that other person may not always be here. Have you told them lately that you love them? Have you hugged your husband? Have you kissed your wife lately? Oh, no, we're at odds, man. We're mad at each other. We're arguing. She did this. He did that. What if you found out that you only had a few weeks to live? How long would you stay upset about that thing that you're upset about? Or what if your spouse, you knew they were only going to be here for another month? Would it change the way that you treated them? I guarantee that it would. But we need to live each day like it could be our last day. Moses said in Psalm 90, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. Let me tell you, I like what Rich Wilkerson Jr. was preaching last week. The Bible says your life is like a vapor. And he had a little spray bottle. And he just went, shh. That's your, in comparison to eternity, your life here on this earth is just like that. It's over so fast. And Moses is saying, God, help me to remember that every day is a gift from you. Help me to be kind to the people in my life. Help me to focus on the good. Help me not to take things for granted. We forget often how fragile life can be. We wait often for Thanksgiving to give thanks. We wait for Christmas to give gifts. We wait for Valentine's Day to express our love. We say to ourselves, today is just an ordinary day, and we wait and we wait. And while we wait, the clock ticks and precious moments are ticking by in our life. In reality, there is no such thing as an ordinary day. Every day is a gift from God. It's unique. It's irreplaceable. Its hours can be used or misused, invested or wasted. I pray, God, teach us to number our days. Teach us to redeem the time. Teach us to make the most of our life. What are you focused on today? What's right or what's wrong? Is there peace in your home and your life? Are you happy, at rest, enjoying your life? Or are you focused on what you don't have and what's not going right? You've got to realize that we must make the most of every day. We need to learn to live it like it could be our last. Don't live it complaining, negative, holding a grudge. Well, they did me wrong. I'm not talking to them. No, they did this to me. Listen, be the bigger person. They may be at fault, but swallow your pride. Make things right. Do you know how many people live in regrets? Do you know how many people say, if I could just tell them how much I really love them, if I only had another chance? Listen, life is fragile. We have to number our days. We have to realize people are not going to be here forever. Amen? Have you told your parents lately that you love them? Have you told your spouse? Have you told your children how great it is to have them in your life? You need to do it often. I know sometimes when we face difficulties, it's hard to stay thankful and stay positive. But the alternative is that we come to the end of our life and we have to say, I spent most of my life negative, depressed, complaining, fighting, mad. No, let's develop a new mindset. Take off those grave clothes, man. Things may not be perfect in your life, but this is the day the Lord has made. Like David said, I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. There is nothing that you've gone through that God is not aware of. There is no situation in your life that is too difficult for Him to take care of. But let me tell you, God works where there's an attitude of faith, where there's an attitude of expectancy. You've got to give God something to work with. Be thankful no matter what. You've got to, let me tell you, being thankful is a choice. It's got nothing to do with the way you feel. Some of you are focusing on what you lost, but you need to be thankful for what you have left. You may have lost a lot, but if God hadn't intervened, you could have lost it all. You've got to shake off self-pity and shake off discouragement and find some reason to be thankful no matter what happens in life. Because if you have the right attitude, let me tell you, you can find the good. You can see the sunshine even when it's cloudy. You can have joy even when things don't go your way. Sometimes thanksgiving is a sacrifice that you offer to God. That's what the scripture says in Psalm 116, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And Psalm 50 says, but giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. And if you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God. The Bible says that when we offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, in other words, you don't feel like it, but you do it anyway, that honors God. And He said, I will show you my path. What is it? What path is it? The path of thanksgiving. In fact, the Hebrew word for thanksgiving is the word todah, and it means an extension of the hand, a sacrifice of praise. There's power when you start thanking God. When Jonah offered a sacrifice of thanksgiving, he was in the belly of the great fish. He'd been swallowed by this fish, and he offered a sacrifice of thanksgiving. In Jonah 2, verse 9, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving, he said. The Message Bible says, I'm worshiping you, God. I'm calling out to you in thanksgiving. What happened when he began to offer thanksgiving? God supernaturally delivered him, and that fish dropped him on the beach. When King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah were surrounded by three armies, it looked like certain defeat. What did they do? The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to God, praising Him for His holy splendor. And this is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord, for His faithful love endures forever. They started thanking God. They started praising God. What happened? God supernaturally delivered them. Their enemies became confused and started fighting one another. And the enemy totally annihilated one another. There wasn't one of the enemy left standing. It happened when they started giving thanksgiving to God. It says in verse 22, the very moment that they began to sing and to give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. And the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. And so when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. There is power in thanksgiving. Let me tell you, thanksgiving is God's way of delivering you. Psalm 50, 23, those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me, and I will show them my salvation. Another translation says, Whoever sacrifices a thank offering glorifies me and makes a way. Whoever offers a sacrificial thanksgiving offering makes a way. I will show him the salvation of God. Do you know the Message translation says, as soon as you set your foot on the way, I'll show you my salvation. What is the way? Thanksgiving is the way. That's the way God delivers you. That's the way God saves you. God promises to deliver and save and make a way for those who will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So when you're in a situation and you don't see any way out and the enemies come against you and you don't feel like it, but you say, I'm going to thank you, Lord, and I'm going to praise you because you are good. That makes a way for God to supernaturally deliver you. Jeremiah 33 verse 11 says, when you bring thank offerings into God's temple, I'll restore everything that was lost in this land. I'll make everything as good as new. I, God, say so. The Amplified Bible says, I'll cause the captivity of the land to be reversed. When you begin to thank God, God says, I'll reverse that captivity. If you'll thank God in advance, even when you don't see anything good happening, then God will reverse the negative situation and He will restore what should have been yours. We must be thankful for what God has done. We must thank Him in advance for what we know He's going to do. Instead of complaining, rather say, Lord, I want to thank You. Even though I don't see how things can change, I want to thank You that You can make a way when I don't see a way. I want to thank You that the answer is on the way. I want to thank You that You're meeting all my needs. I want to thank You that the healing is coming. I want to thank You. You're turning this situation around. I want to thank You. My children will fulfill their destiny. I want to thank You in advance. Let me tell you, if you live like that, get ready, because God is going to reverse and restore. He'll reverse finances that were going down. He'll reverse a business that was low. He'll reverse a bad medical report. He'll reverse a legal situation in your life. Not only that, God will restore what should have been yours. He'll restore years that you've lost because someone did you wrong. Praise and thanksgiving causes God to go to work in your life. It breaks chains that are holding you back. It opens supernatural doors. It causes things to fall into place supernaturally. Some of you, you've prayed about a situation long enough. I want to encourage you, start switching over into thanksgiving. Get up every morning and say, Father, I want to thank You that my dreams are coming to pass. I want to thank You that the victory, the breakthrough is coming. I want to thank You that promotion is on the way. I want to thank You, Lord, You're reversing. You're taking what the enemy meant for my harm, and You're turning it to my good, Lord. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, don't be anxious about anything. Tell your neighbor, don't be anxious, no matter what. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Even when Jesus was on the earth, He thanked His heavenly Father for the answer before it came. His friend Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Jesus stood at the tomb, looked up to heaven. John 11 said, Father, I want to thank You that You heard my prayer. Lazarus was still dead when Jesus said, Father, thank You, You heard my prayer. Jesus was thanking His heavenly Father that Lazarus was alive before he'd been raised from the dead. If Jesus thought it was important enough to thank God before the answer came, then we certainly should get in the habit of not only asking God, not only presenting our request to God, but take it one step further. You got to start thanking God for the answer in advance. Even when you don't have any sign, you don't see any sign of it happening, you thank God. I pray today that we would have a spirit of thankfulness, that we'd always focus on the good, that we would not take things in our life for granted, that we would treat each day as a unique, irreplaceable day, that we would understand how life is short and fragile, and that every day is a gift, that we would make the most of it, that we wouldn't go around focusing on what's wrong, but we'd find a reason to be thankful, we'd find a reason to be grateful, because the seeds of discouragement can never take root in a thankful and a grateful heart. Amen. If you'll get up every morning and thank God for the day and then go through the day with a grateful attitude, always focused on the good, you will live so much happier. You will rise so much higher. You will see God do amazing things. You'll experience supernatural deliverance in your life, and you will live a life of victory that God has destined for you in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen, somebody? Won't you bow your head for a moment? I want to pray. Father, I thank You for every person that is here this morning. I thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in each and every person's life. I thank You, Lord, that You are so faithful. Even when we are faithless, you remain faithful. And Father, I pray for every person here this morning, Lord. I pray that you would supply every need in their life. I pray that you would protect them, guide them, strengthen them, fill them with your peace, fill them with your joy. I pray that every one of us would have a change in our perspective, that we would be thankful in all circumstances, Lord, in the name of Jesus. While you have your eyes closed, just with your head bowed, I want to pray. Let me tell you what I am most thankful for in my life is Jesus. The greatest, greatest, greatest blessing in my life was receiving Jesus. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm so grateful. And if you do not know Jesus, if you do not know the Lord, let me ask you, if you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity? Do you know that there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun? If you died today, can you say, Pastor Steve, I'm sure of what would happen to me? Or would you have to be honest and say, I'm not sure. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I'm not absolutely certain of what would happen to me when I die. Let me tell you, the good news is you can be absolutely sure about that. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Heaven is a real place. There's a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I want to make sure that all is right between me and the Lord. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray, I'm going to ask you to just quickly, just lift your hand up high. Raise your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, then you are included in this prayer this morning. Amen. Hand me my phone for a second, babe. I think it's in my case, in the case. There it is. You see it? There it is. On the side. There you go. Thank you. I just want to quickly read this. Come up for a second. But I want to read this to you. To me, this is so powerful. I read this. The night the Titanic sank in 1912, April 14th, 1,528 people went into the frigid waters. John Harper, after putting his only daughter on a lifeboat, was seen swimming frantically to people in the water, leading them to Jesus, before the hypothermia became fatal. Reverend Harper swam up to one young man who'd climbed up on a piece of debris. Reverend Harper asked him in between breaths, "Are you saved?" The young man replied that he was not. Harper then tried to lead him to Christ, only to have the young man who was near shock reply, "No." John Harper then took off his life jacket and threw it to the man and said, "Here, you need this more than I do," and swam away to other people. A few minutes later, Harper swam back to the young man and succeeded in leading him to salvation. Of the 1,528 people that went into the water that night, six were rescued by lifeboats. One of them was this young man on the debris. 4 years later, at a survivors' meeting, this young man stood up and in tears recounted how John Harper had led him to Christ. Reverend Harper had tried to swim back to help other people. Because of the intense cold, he had grown too weak to swim. His last words before going under the frigid waters were, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." Does Hollywood remember this man? No. It doesn't matter. The servant of God did what he had to do while other people were trying to buy their way onto the lifeboats and were selfishly trying to save their own lives. John Harper gave up his life so that others could be saved. That is love in action. That story really hit me. It really spoke to me. Maybe because sitting on the cruise, looking at these waters, imagining what it must be like, and there's 18 lifeboats on the whole thing, you know, I'm calculating, there's 18 lifeboats. But can you imagine that John Harper, he had such an understanding of what it means to be saved. He really understood that your life on this earth is so quick. And I want to tell you right now, we may not be on the Titanic and we may not have people drowning, but people are dying and going to hell every single day, every single moment. And if God is looking to us to reach out, to help them, to save them, to share the good news, to invite them to church. I want to encourage you to invite someone. It's just that easy to invite someone to come to church with you next Sunday. Amen, Tony. Amen. Praise God.
Preaching, good preaching. That'll change your focus for the week, right? Amen. Praise God. Well, now's the time in the service. Just before we close, we're going to receive our church offering. And I would just want to, at this point, thinking of Thanksgiving, we, Pastor Steve and I don't just say it, from our hearts, we are very thankful for each and every person in this church. We're thankful for your service. We thank you. We've got people that walk in with a smile on their face and serve in kids' church and sing and usher. And we're thankful for your giving. We're thankful for your financial support. We are very, very thankful for that. But I just want to tell you, like, we had our grandson, Nadine's little boy, Brady, sleep over last night, and she had packed his tithe because he had a birthday. Now, let me tell you, when you have an eight-year-old, you've got to remind them to be thankful, and you've got to tell them that they need to give, and they need to give with a thankful heart. And so I have, like, some fresh information for you that I used this morning with Brady. Right? Because let me tell you that people with ungrateful hearts find it very hard to give. And a person with a thankful heart and somebody who gives, it's a demonstration of their thankfulness to God. Amen? And so I just want to read a couple of verses from that King David in the Bible. David wrote, it is recorded what he said because he had such a heart after God. So it's just a couple of verses from First Chronicles. It says the people rejoiced over the offerings. Well, let me tell you, first of all, there's different ways you can give. It'll come up on the screen. Just make it easy for you as you prepare. Most people give in church, in our envelopes, or online. It's secure. It's very easy. Everything online leads to the same secure give. Nothing is compromised. So you can do that through texting. You can do that through our app. You can do it through our website. It's very simple to do that. But I'm going to read this verse from First Chronicles. It says, the people rejoiced over the offerings. Don't you like it when people like to give? Like to give, right? It says, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. So there you see their attitude. And King David was filled with joy. Then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. And this is what he said. He said, O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and the earth, on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. And we adore you as the one who is over all things. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. And then he said, O God, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Because everything we have comes from you. And we only give you what you first gave us. Isn't that an attitude of gratefulness? You do You were there when you were born, but you don't remember it very well, I'm sure. But let me tell you, you came into this world with nothing. And you're going out with nothing. Right? And everything we have comes from God. And so let's be thankful for what we have and let's give with that attitude. Amen? And I pray Brady's doing that in Kids Church today right now. Check his pockets that his tithe doesn't go home with him. Okay? Praise God. Well, go ahead and give. Thank you. Go ahead and prepare yourself. Thank you. My dear.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. You know, it's so true that giving, and in particularly tithing, is a demonstration of your thankfulness to the Lord. Yeah. Let me tell you, I just look at your checkbook. I'll tell you what's important in your life. Because where you spend your money, Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. I just look at your budget, where you spend your money, and I see what matters to you. To me, the number one thing is to honor the Lord. The first thing we do, no matter what's happening, is we honor God with the tithe. And so, Father, I thank you today. We are thankful, Lord. We know that everything we have comes from you. And I thank you for every person who's faithful to give. I thank you for every person who's faithful to tithe. Lord, you promised you'd open the windows of heaven above them and you'd pour out such blessing that they would not have room enough to contain. And not only that, but you would rebuke the devourer, that you would divinely protect us. Lord, I thank you for your protection about us. I thank you for the windows of heaven open above us. I thank you, Lord, for bringing increase. We give you praise. We thank you that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen. We want to say thank you to everyone who served today, who served our media department, do a wonderful job, our kids' church teachers, our ushers, our greeters. Give them a round of applause. We appreciate you, our worship team, our singers, musicians, everyone who served. We appreciate you serving in God's house. Amen. We love you. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday. Are we all ready? Are we ready for Sunday? Say, next Sunday, I'll be here, and I'm going to bring somebody with me. Amen. We love you. God bless everybody. We'll see you next Sunday.
never failing one. There is one, it is Jesus, the never changing one. The never failing one.
You give us joy for fear. You give us peace in the middle of anxiety. You give us joy instead of fear.
When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. Through every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. Yes, I do. Through every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Come on, sing this over yourself today. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. Through every high and stormy gale, come on, sing it. My anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within.
Sing.